funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Hey, we're an acquired taste podcast.
That was so good.
The podcast that gives you life.
Almost. Not editing that out.
Okay. The podcast that gives you life lessons that are not always useful.
Oh, great. And has some light construction going on in the background. Welcome to Kitchen Studio NYC.
It's just an ambiance.
Yeah.
Speaking of life lessons, I've always learned not to run into traffic. Except I just did.
Kathleen gave me a mini heart attack while we drove up to Kitchen Studio NYC, Bethany.
Fabulous. By the way, I'm Bethany. That's Sam.
I am Sam.
And that's Kathleen.
Hello, I'm Kathleen.
You just ran across the street, Kathleen?
We were getting our stuff out of the car. We parked in Bethany's neighborhood and a Post-it flew out of my purse and into the street.
Ooh.
And that was an important Post-it. Yeah. I wrote notes on that Post-it
and
for
so
us.
And so you ran into the street. Did anything hit you or are you okay?
Well, it was in within arm's reach. And then I'm looking at cars coming and I'm going, nope, I shouldn't do it.
But there was no communication here. Like Kathleen was alone. So I turn around. I'm like, why are you running into traffic?
Yeah.
Well, oh my God. As every car drove by, the Post-it just floated further down the street with the wind of each vehicle.
Ugh.
And I was like, no!
That's the worst.
And it sort of fell at the light underneath the car, and I had to like tap on the van, like, excuse me.
You gave it dead arm. Like you assertively said, yes. You will not drive.
You will not drive over me, you giant van.
You got it. I'm impressed.
My very important Post-it is under your car. I got it. this is the important note on the Post-it. # taste buds on location.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so let me tell you what this means.
I see what this is.
Glamour magazine used to do this thing, and they still might, where if you took your Glamour magazine on vacation, you took a photo of it,
yeah.
And they would post you in sort of whatever location you're in, a cool location,
yes.
On the content page.
Awesome.
The contents page. So I figured, you know what? That would be so cool if we could have our listeners do that, because a listener wrote on our Instagram today that she will be listening to our podcast while cleaning out the horse stalls. So my girlfriend, take a selfie, post it, use the # tastebud on location.
Yeah, and put your horse in it.
And yeah, put your horses in it. Show us where you're listening to the podcast and we'll repost you.
That would be amazing. Yes. Today we're going to talk about some business stuff, because if you listened to us last week, we are now officially a small business, but we have some bookkeeping things to do first.
Small business with big business dreams.
Yes. So first of all, we have to give a huge giant shout out to our listener, Seamus. He sent us that amazing book. And I'm sorry, we opened it ahead of time because we wanted to make sure that we knew what we were talking about. But Seamus sent us this awesome book, and I want to pull up the email that he sent, because he sent us a letter, but then he was also worried.
The book is called Textbook Amy Krauss Rosenthal, and she's also the author of Encyclopedia of an Ordinary Life.
So this is super touching, because I really think one of the nicest gifts you can ever give anybody is a book, because it's speaks to you. It means something emotional. And I haven't given someone a book or received one in so long. Well, like, this was delightful.
This is the cool thing. So Seamus emailed us. He said, the book I'm sending you is by a performance artist / children's book author, Amy Krauss Rosenthal. She passed away last year from ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
I covered the story on the Big Show. He said, this book is a beautiful reminder of togetherness and how we are all involved in each other's lives. So he's read it. He said, I want to pass it along to you guys because you're the perfect people to receive it. It's what Amy would have wanted. It's a book that's funny, sometimes sad, sometimes cute, but if you want, just like Little Words Project, which is a jewelry company that we love so much, keep this book going. I'd like to see where it ends up. So we're all going to read Seamus's copy, and then when we're done, we're going to give it to someone else, and it's going to be like the sisterhood of the traveling book.
Yes.
Oh, I love that movie.
We should give it to another listener too. Let's figure out how to do that. But it's a hefty one, guys, so you will not be getting it next week.
No, it's going to be a while. We have to all three read it. But that was so nice of you, Seamus. We're excited to read it. Thank you so much. Seamus sent it to our P.O. box, which is an Acquired Taste podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Okay, Kathleen, you want to get to, it's kind of, you're spearheading this topic of the week?
Yes. Okay, so I have a friend who is a book publisher. I mean, I'm sorry, a book PR.
Public relations.
There you go.
Oh, Lord. And she handed me this book, and I was like, yes, this is perfect, because I just started a small business.
An LLC.
And it is called Business Chemistry, and the authors are Kim Christfort and Suzanne Vickberg.
Those aren't real last names. Those are two last names made up of people taking names and putting them with the endings of other names. What are those last names again? Christberg and Fortnite?
Vickberg. Yeah, something like that. No, Kim Christfort and Suzanne Vickberg. Thank you for your creativity.
They sound smart. I'm believing anything in this book.
Okay, so essentially the book is set up like a chemistry table, periodic table. There you go.
Okay.
I can't believe you're correcting yourself today.
I is very smart. Okay. And they say that there are four types of business partners, and certain types work well with each other and certain types don't.
Oh my God, what if we find out we're not going to work well together?
And there are only three of us, so I'm wondering what we're going to be missing from our new small business equation.
Yeah, okay. And if you listen to last week's podcast, things got heated.
This is an important moment for us, whatever Kathleen's about to say.
Yeah, we have a lot of you listeners are actually small business owners, or I know you want to start your own business, so this is good. This is good to know ahead of time.
All right. Listen up,
grab a pencil.
Everyone huddle in.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is a pioneer. So what do we think of as a pioneer? Somebody who spearheads things?
Forges unknown territory.
Sits on a horse.
A Viking sort of type person? Okay, so pioneers value possibilities and they spark energy and imagination. They're outgoing, spontaneous, and adaptable. They're creative thinkers who believe in big risks and can bring great things.
That's Sam.
That's definitely Sam.
Yeah, that's Sam.
Thank you.
Yes. Yep, for sure.
Okay, Sam's the pioneer.
When do I get my horse?
Later.
1650.
Cool.
The next one is the guardian. The guardian values stability and bringing order and rigor to the group. They're practical, detail-oriented, reserved. They're deliberate decision makers, apt to stick to the status quo. That is Bethany.
I think that's Bethany.
Yeah.
As of late, that's definitely been Bethany. Oh.
I don't like not knowing what's happening and feeling like we're making progress.
I'm sort of getting to know you guys. We're friends.
Yeah.
But now we're getting to know each other as business partners.
We are friends and business partners.
Yes. And I like to think I have no surprises. Like, I am what I am.
Yeah. Oh, you are Popeye.
Okay. All right. What's the next one?
The next one is the driver. The driver values challenge and they generate momentum. They're technical, quantitative, and logical. They're direct in their approach to people and problems.
See, it's so funny because you guys put me as the pioneer, but the driver sounds more like things I associate myself with.
I think you're also the driver.
Okay, I think I'm none of these.
I'm driving the horse.
Is one the cook? But okay, what's the last one, Kevin?
And the last one is the interrogator. And the interrogator values connection. They draw teams together. They're empathetic. They're diplomatic. They're relationship oriented. And they're attuned to nuance, seeing shades of gray rather than black and white.
See, I actually think that is you.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense for you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you feel that.
I see that. I also see, and I'm really happy, I've thought of each of you in these. I've completely excluded myself from this project. But you both fit in at least a little bit to each of these. So that's good. It's like business horoscopes.
Yeah. And then you have to figure out like, so does this book say that a good business needs all four of those?
Yes, uh-oh, it does. yeah, unfortunately. So we decide Sam is the pioneer.
Yep.
Sam, this is definitely you.
Really? I would have thought more driver, but it's two against one.
No, you're spontaneous. You're like,
let's do outgoing.
Yeah, let's do another thing.
Okay, so yeah. So they
quote unquote, Sam.
Digging deeper into the pioneer category, outgoing, spontaneous, adaptable, imaginative thinkers who take big risks.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're open to new ideas, mm-hmm. But also prone to change your mind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I don't dislike any of these things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, let's see. Let's go deeper.
Dig, girl.
Okay, what was the next one we said?
Oh my God, you can literally hear them jackhammering in the background.
Okay, the guardian. That's Bethany.
I'm sorry, one of them was called the jackhammer.
Did you say jackhammer?
Jackhammer.
That's what I do on Saturday nights. Okay, Bethany is the jackhammer. Oh my God.
Yay, it's happening.
Bethany is the weight pulling this podcast down.
Okay. Guardians. They are picky, picky, picky. Guardians yes. are also viewed as sticklers for the rules. They tend to think rules are there for a reason, and it's certainly not to break them. Because guardians are reserved in nature, at times they can seem plain, and guardians are tough to get to know. I don't think you're tough to get to know.
I think I'm tough to get to know, but I don't think I come across as plain.
You don't come across as plain. You are not. You are tough to get to know, but you don't seem tough to get to know. It's one of those things where 6 months later, you're like, oh, I thought I knew you.
Yeah. I frightened 3 different people on the street last night.
What did you do?
That's how you know Naturally. I'm not. Separately. That's how you know I'm not plain.
Wait, okay. did they forget their sunglasses and you hurt their eyes?
No, I just freaked them out. I pretended I was an official picture taker for the city of New York. I thought I was being whimsical to some tourists, and ultimately I just frightened them. So I need to rein it back in and be a little more plain.
I like all of these things that Bethany's doing with herself now, because I was hoping, you know how you now yell at people on Twitter? I was hoping that's now how you're just starting to talk to people.
I just yell at people on Twitter, but not yelling at them. I just yell to them.
Hello.
This is why we can't have nice things, Duralius.
All right, I'm going to go through the rest of this more quickly. The driver, who we really haven't quite figured out yet who is, drivers are impatient and they don't particularly value social niceties. Niceties.
They don't value nieces socially.
And to that, their single-minded focus and direct speaking style is not surprising that drivers often come across as blunt and abrasive.
I might be the driver. Okay.
I think we all have a little driver in us.
We drive.
Like, I like to send emails that literally are one sentence.
Yeah.
That's all that needs to be said.
There's Correct. Nothing to the imagination on
and
those.
And so we were trying to send a business email, and Sam edited my email, and she's like, no, you need to be nice first.
You guys, it was someone that we had no problem with. So Kathleen wasn't actually trying to put she wasn't trying to be snarky or bring a severe point home.
Yeah.
It was just point blank.
You guys, we're just going to crash and burn. Like, the more I hear about us.
All right. The last one, a little bit more.
All right. This is the one we thought was you originally.
This is the one we think is me. I'm the interrogator.
Okay.
I'm empathetic. I don't think I'm empathetic at all.
No, I think you are. Listen to last week's episode, and when I was just yelling, you were saying things like, I see how you could feel that way, and like,
okay,
oh, that, you know, we all do these things. We've all blacked out during complete conversations.
Still haven't read that text chain.
You haven't?
Nope, I won't do it.
It's not that bad.
I'm empathetic, I'm diplomatic, and I'm relationship oriented, and I see shades of gray rather than black and white, and I'm inclined to weigh all the options and check with others prior to making decisions.
Okay, I do see a mix of this and driver.
Yeah. And so I think that's okay. Yeah, I think that's okay.
We seem to make a fourth together.
Practical magic for crafting powerful work relationships.
Business chemistry. I think it's a little bit like Captain Planet, where like all rings connected
should
create.
Should we all get matching rings? Yep. That's my takeaway from this.
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay.
Edit. I just dropped the book when Bethany.
Why are you whispering?
If you're listening,
don't edit this out.
We're very sensitive to sounding like we're in a janky kitchen studio, which we are. We wish we had the funds to be in a really professional studio, but I'm hoping that, sort of like Bob Vila, our charm is a little bit rustic and rough around the edges. I'm hoping.
I think it's fine. Keep this in, Sam.
Alrighty.
So I just dropped a book when Bethany was like full on saying something, and then I realized, oh shoot.
Not even accidentally. You lifted your arm to shoulder's height and just dropped your hand.
Well, the table is very high, and you had a long way to go.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So that book is awesome. I also found
There's a hummingbird outside your window. Breaking news. I've never seen a legit hummingbird in New York City.
Did you? First of all, that was definitely not a hummingbird. If it was, it was morbidly obese because it was huge. Second of all, I love how I was trying to get your guys' attention to it without breaking the flow of the podcast. Like, I was silently pointing at Kathleen like, it's a hummingbird.
Ooh, something shiny.
It's just it was a very poised bird.
I'm glad I'm not running this small business on my own.
Okay. So I also found this article on the website Inc.com, mm-hmm. and it was written by a guy named Bill Murphy Jr. And it's 9 key things successful business partners always do. So if you are starting a small business with somebody, you should take these 9 things into account.
Okay.
And he wrote it from the perspective of the company Zipcar.
Oh, interesting.
They're successful.
Well, yeah, but the two women who started Zipcar sold it and don't talk to each other anymore.
Really?
Do they need to? How much did they make?
Yeah. There were some big problems, wow, apparently. So if you read this article, he takes it from that perspective of like, this is what you should do. This is what they didn't do. So the first thing successful business partners always do, they have a successful history together before founding a company.
So far, so good.
Right? So they say that like you should know how you argue. You should know that that like you spend a lot of time together, you have similar values, you know just kind of how the other person operates. He said this is the most important one.
Okay.
So this interesting. Is good.
That's mm-hmm. good, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, number 2, agree on a vision. He said it's crucial that co-founders agree on the vision, both short-term understanding of the company's value proposition, but also long-term understanding of how they think their idea fits into the overall world.
Okay. So we touched on this last week. Our vision is we are here for we the people.
Yep. The Acquired Taste podcast community.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to make people feel less strange and alone in their thoughts and laugh along yes. the way.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And cool. cry sometimes.
Like open to growing, open to doing more live shows.
Absolutely.
Open to, right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Number 3, have the hard talks about money. This is the one that people want to skip because you're excited about the idea. You don't want to bring things down and you don't know if your company is going to be amazing or teeny tiny and then crash and burn.
Why is Kathleen laughing?
I am laughing because after we finished recording a podcast a few weeks ago and we knew that we were going to open a bank account together.
Yeah.
Bethany says to us very seriously, what happens when we get into a really epic fight and one of us drains the bank account?
Yes.
And Sam and I were like,
You guys don't take this seriously. So we all have access to this bank account
no,
now.
No, I took it seriously. I wasn't taking how you were bringing it up seriously because you were so uncomfortable yes. that you were laughing the whole time.
Because this is why we have all watched Investigation Discovery where an yeah. abusive husband steals all the wife's money and leaves and she has nothing.
Yeah. But then in order to not make it weird, which made it more weird, Bethany's like, no, no, guys, I'm at highest risk of being that person. Yeah. I'm going to go crazy and I'm cleaning out the account
just so you guys know. I was like, isn't there a way that all 3 of us have to sign in order to pull money out? And Andre, our personal banker, is like, no. And I'm like, well, yeah, guess
yeah.
what,
yeah, when we were opening the account, we're like, Andre, if somebody goes crazy and steal, like one of 3 of us like takes all the money and runs, what do we do? And he looked at us and he said
nothing.
He yeah. said, you get a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. Which is expensive.
It is. So just know that.
I don't know how to answer. I still don't know how to answer that.
Lucky yeah. for us, we have $300 in our bank account right now, so
whoop whoop.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. $250. I'm sorry.
Sam!
I wanted a really nice sandwich and chips.
This is the problem.
I shouldn't reveal our financial records.
It's fine. There's nothing to reveal right now. All right. Number 4 on the list of 9 key things successful business partners always do. Decide who the real leader is. This is interesting. So in almost every successful business partnership this dude has studied, there's usually one visionary leader and one person who's more of a whiz at execution. So this guy calls them the big idea person and the get stuff done person. And this actually fits in, Kathleen, with what you were talking about earlier, like yeah. the pioneer versus like the jackhammer.
See, this is going to stump me because it's something we've addressed in the past, depending on what we're talking about at the moment, like for different venues, each of us take a front seat.
Yeah.
For different things. If we're dealing with X, it's Kathleen. If we're dealing with Y, it's been Bethany. If we're dealing with Z, it's been me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to answer that one.
I don't either.
And I don't want to try because I like that we each have different strengths.
I really am okay with not making any decisions ever, so I'm just going to leave that up to you guys.
Okay.
I'm here along for the ride.
Right.
This is a good one. Number 5, ensure you understand each other's commitment. It's a great advantage not to have other commitments tugging at you when you launch a new venture. However, that's rarely the case. And frankly, it can be reckless to quit your day job before figuring out whether a venture will really work. He talks about this is what happened with the Zipcar women. Oh. That one was able to give 100% of her time. Yeah. And the other one, maybe 30%, because she had to like bring home the bacon for everyone in her family and children. So it became a problem.
And that's what we are particularly struggling
that's
with right
hard.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sam and I work on the big show and Bethany's working on personal projects, so your time schedule is a little bit different than
yeah.
ours.
So
you're also your own boss, which sounds lovely right
it's
now.
Great. So this is definitely a conversation we need to have. And he said,
should
just
we have
like,
it right now?
No. But he said,
no, I'm down.
Be
I'm
willing down. To talk about, like, right now I can only take 60% and you take, you know, 30 and you take whatever the other one is for math.
Actually,
10.
That's a really interesting conversation. Like, if we look at our schedules ahead of time and what's going on in our lives, we divvy up everything by percentage.
Maybe so that's,
like,
what it is.
In the month of May, I'll take, you know, some months will be 33, 33, 33, which doesn't equal 100.
Which Minerva then takes the 1%, my cat, we yes. realized.
She's been silently smug this entire time, and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah. She's the worst.
But that's very interesting. Like, if somebody's going through a major life crisis, then maybe that month they take 20, and the other 80 are just split between the other two.
We can do good. That by tasks, because I have no idea how to put anything we do into a percent.
Yes. Now, this is number 6, actually. It's a good segue.
Okay.
Have compatible vital skills. This is related to the decision about who the real leader is. So you don't want to necessarily have the exact same skills as each other. So you want to know that, like, one person's really good with money, one person's really good with tech, one person's really good with people and sales. And mm-hmm. that way you kind of have all of your bases covered. It's like the same thing with relationships or friendships. Like, if you're married to somebody who's really outgoing and you're shy, that person's great at a party because you just latch on to them. Yep. And then they talk to everyone for
right.
you.
Right. Okay.
So this is good. I think we have this. Kathleen, behind the scenes,
yep.
you're in charge of, like, our web stuff. Mm-hmm. You upload the podcast. Mm-hmm. Sam, you're in charge of editing it. And
Bethany's
out the swears.
In charge of everything else.
I'm in charge of, I listen once you edit it, I title it and describe it, and
we
then
do
I try
have a machine.
Yeah,
you're
we have
right.
a little bit of machine.
I've never paid attention to this before.
You know, Bethany, last podcast, you were talking about how in Hollywood, you sort of have to be a quadruple threat.
Yes.
Because not only are you an actor, dancer, singer, you also have to write your own material. And I feel like we're the podcast, that's the triple threat.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because we're an audio engineer, we're a web engineer, mm-hmm. and we are a life engineer.
And then the other one.
And then the other one.
Or the other one.
Another one.
okay,
well,
number
the smart. I think the brains of the well, actually, Sam and I look to you for a lot of decisions because you've worked in the audio industry for much longer than she and I have.
That's true.
And on The Big Show, you are a main player and you know exactly what to listen for.
Yeah. Okay, 7. Have compatible styles. So you don't want two partners with the exact same leadership styles and personalities, but you do want people who are compatible with each other. So you want someone who, like, let's see, you want to know, like, who is the motivated person who can handle emergency stuff before sunrise mm-hmm. versus the person who can handle stuff after dark. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have an early bird and a night owl, or it's nice okay. to have somebody who is more detail oriented and does great on paper versus someone who is really great in meetings and is really charming. You want to be able to, like, have both bases covered.
Well, thankfully, none of us really sleep.
Yeah.
So 24 hours is pretty much covered.
Yeah. Number 8, you want to decide how to fill other positions. So you want to be really good and communicate who and how you're going to hire new people once it comes to that. And this is where it gets really juicy from the Zipcar story.
Ooh, tell
so
on.
Apparently, the early employees at Zipcar were related to one of the co-owners, co-creators.
Makes sense.
Her husband was the first chief technology officer. Her brother served as director of business development. The other woman said that this was the issue that made her kind of leave the company or turned it, like, into a bad direction. She said that basically people were given permission to fire other people without her having
no
a say.
Way.
Yeah. Got real dramatic.
See, that's weird, because to me, that's just a too ignorant person who doesn't have real, like, full bodied business yet. It's, if you're at the head of the business, doesn't it make sense that you should have a say?
Right. But what, so that was, like, a disagreement between the two. It sounds, I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounds like maybe the woman who, her last name is Chase, she, like, said to her husband, hey, come on without telling the woman Danielson that she was doing it, maybe. And then, like, all of a sudden he has a job. Well, I can't take it away. I already promised it to him. And now all of a sudden, like, her family's in it.
I'd be, if I were Chase, I'd be pissed too.
Absolutely.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Uh-huh. So.
Well, our meltdown last week was sort of about the same thing. It was about Bethany thought Sam and I were talking about podcast things when we weren't around her, and we're not, because yeah. we know that it's the three of us. It's not the two of us.
And again, I wasn't, like, accusing. I was just thought that it was, like, an unintentional dropping little things as you walked by each other that
yeah.
weren't even realized they were being right. dropped. I never thought it was nefarious, like, for
no,
the record.
No. Okay. Of course. And when we saw each other every day on The Big Show, there was just sort of this constant conversation going on about podcast things.
Yeah.
And it's different now, but that's yeah. okay, because we are official.
We're working through it.
Yeah. And then 9, the last one, have a plan for happily ever after. So know what you want to do and how you're going to navigate that transition from like a small company to a giant company. And like the skills that lead you to success, he says, in the first kind of venture often are the exact opposite of the kind that lead to success later. So you want to know that, like, if you start this venture with somebody that you have a good relationship, you need to know you're going to be strong enough to survive whatever that ends up being. And you're kind of on the same page with all of that.
I think we've discussed that.
I think so.
Yeah, as much as we can. I mean, it's kind of, it's hard and impossible to plan such a future thing, very, you know, we have broad strokes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what he says. So again, this is 9 key things successful business partners always do from Inc.com by Bill Murphy Jr. He says that, like, you don't know if you're creating the next Facebook or the next Friendster. Oh, so it's hard to know, like, how big to plan. But we have so many listeners who have started really small businesses that are starting to explode.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people listening who are in this boat.
If you are a small business owner and you're listening to this right now, send us an email with your one top piece of advice.
Ooh, that's good.
I'm dying to know, because listen, did you guys take any business classes in college?
Hell no.
Yeah. Theater major.
Me neither. So I don't know. We are kind of screwed, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll just talk to my mom.
I was literally
just have her tell me.
I was Google is my business class, because I just look stuff up.
Yeah.
Tax numbers, IRS IDs.
I'm not kidding. I really do go to my mom for everything, because she ran, she didn't go to school for anything, but she ran my dad's business when he was a solo practitioner of pulmonology in the area. She's like, I figured it out.
I mean, I literally don't do my own taxes and was able to open a PO box and an LLC in the state of New Jersey.
See, I worry a little bit.
Now I'm scared.
Like, now that you said, can we quickly say what happened with Andre, our personal banker?
Oh, Lord. It depends on what part we're talking about, ladies.
So when we go to Andre and sit down, and Kathleen is the one that's sort of going to have her ID used and everything. She's kind of the face of it.
Oh my God.
She had to prove her address. And so Andre said, can you send me, do you have a bill that has your address on it? And Kathleen says, yes, I have one in my email. I will forward it to you. Kathleen, which bill did you choose to forward? To the man who has to approve our banking account with the higher ups at TD Bank.
So I sent him a PSE&G bill.
Which is the energy company.
Energy company, which for 4 years, and I haven't realized it because it's paperless, has had my old address on it. So then I was wondering.
Oh, no, that's
just
not
part
it.
One.
The other part is it was a past due bill that had a giant red banner across the top.
I owed quite a lot of money.
For goodness sake, woman.
My hair dryer is just a lot of, my hair's long. It takes
so
a lot of
why
voltage.
Did you choose to forward him that one?
So it looks like I forgot to pay my energy bill for a few months.
So we're like, Andre, trust us with money. Here.
Trust us with money. Give us a business account. But
like, I might as well have reached into my pocket at that point and pulled out a handful of change, Canadian coins, and crumpled euro.
Give me a loan.
Can I has bank with this?
So bless Andre's heart. Yeah. He was like, can you send me another one?
Another one?
That doesn't make you look like you don't know how to handle money.
And
so he did.
The answer probably is, I don't know how to handle money. Good luck, guys. You already signed the paper.
You know what you get. You know what you get.
Bless his heart.
Oh, Lord.
That was a wonderful moment for us.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I did have a realization, by the way, to loop back to one of the points where it was like, you need to choose a leader. Most businesses are not three people.
I know.
Most are two.
I know.
When you're having an argument with two people, it's really difficult. But there have been times where one of us disagree with other two, and you know that, I mean, unless it's a battle you really need to fight, you know, you fall in line with the other two people. Yeah.
And 100 cannot be broken into three parts.
As we've discovered.
In a very holy way. So we are all 1/3 owner of our business. But, you know, numbers wise,
yes.
Minerva owns the last percentage.
Look so at her smug up there.
If Bethany and Minerva start deciding to hire and fire people without telling Sam and I.
Majority share.
It's true.
Yeah.
But sometimes family doesn't work very well with family. So Kathleen, there's a small percent chance you or I could get Minerva on our side.
That's true. And you know what? Minerva, I don't know if her loyalty is always to Bethany.
We'll see.
I give good chin scratches.
So let us know what your, if you have a small business or a large one, what your like number one piece of advice is, or the number one don't do this thing is. You can tweet us at Acquired Podcast.
You can also send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. And to also speak to that, we have a whole bunch of advice ones we've read and haven't responded to because we want to maybe hopefully cover.
Yes.
So be patient with us. This is a good time to take a break because we definitely want to talk about our friends at Illuminate Magic.
We love you.
We love them. So we mentioned them last week. They are our new partner for this podcast. And what it is it's a small, like, it's a fat beer can sized Bluetooth speaker mixed with a nightlight. So you can use them together or you can use them separately.
And one of my favorite parts about the Luna Bluetooth speaker is that it donates 10% of all of its sales to the McLean Children's Medical Center in Temple, Texas. And when I put that on our Instagram, our listener Erica is from Temple, Texas.
Oh, we love that.
Yay. Hello, Temple.
So they want to give you a percentage off. So use the code ACQUIRED at illuminatemagic.com. That's going to get you 15% off. And it's acquired with a C, ACQUIRED, at illuminatemagic.com to get 15% off.
And if you're curious about what it looks like, go over to our Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast because we have two posts now, one of us playing with it and one of us playing behind it.
I always play behind it.
You're a classy lady.
It's just a good nightlight. Like, I keep mine on. It just strobes different colors softly as I sleep.
Yeah, I like it. I keep it by my bed.
I keep my mom by your bed.
Well, that was a tasteful ending.
Sorry.
Thank you, Illuminate Magic. Sorry about Kathleen. Let's get back to the topic.
Okay, so last week we asked you guys to let us know what it is that you get from the podcast too, as we're like doing this. I know this episode has been a little bit inside baseball, but I think it's good for anybody to think about, like, if you're, what kind of work you do and what you want to get from it.
Actually, we're really just quite lazy and you guys just wrote our business plan for us, so yeah. Thank you.
So we got a bunch of responses. It's so awesome. John on Twitter, he said, I get from the podcast, live in the moment, turn off your social media notifications, take the risks that make you happy, and lastly, be yourself and support others who are still discovering themselves.
Support others who are still discovering themselves. Yes. That is so beautiful.
Yeah. And I see this meme and I love it so much. It's that you lift yourself by lifting others.
That's really nice.
Yeah, haven't you seen that on Pinterest?
Is that the one with the cat reaching its paws out in a rainbow sky?
Pinterest, all the best ones are.
Mm-hmm. Gina on Twitter said, I listen because I love hearing the three of you ramble. That's really nice,
well,
actually.
We can most certainly deliver on that.
Yeah. Jen said, I describe the podcast this way. Three friends talking about real life issues that affect everyone, honest opinions, and that I am not alone in this world of craziness.
Super appreciate that.
Yeah. So we definitely want to hear from you. And then someone named Cac on Twitter said the half Catholic, half Jewish, all party episode made her very sad. Whoa. She said, we want a positive episode about things you like. Because that's when we talked about things we hate at weddings.
Oh, it's so true.
So we'll have a more positive episode
next
time.
That's fair. Should we make sure next topic is positive?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Every once in a while, it's nice to like gripe.
Absolutely.
But, you know.
And let's be honest, people, if every episode we had was really positive, we would be kind of boring.
Yeah, you'd get bored. But yeah. We hear you, Cac.
Speaking of weddings, we were invited to a wedding.
Yay! Oh my God, I love having a P.O. box.
Mail corner.
We got invited to a wedding by our listener, Abby, and she is from Iowa. I-A, that's Iowa?
Yes.
It's not.
I don't know.
Artificial intelligence.
I mean, it's also that.
That's AI.
Are we about to be raptured?
We are. She's getting married on June 9th. That is a Saturday. That is coming up.
Oh, can we have to,
Who has a private plane?
Maybe they're building mine right now.
God, if you don't hear it outside, then our microphones are very unidirectional because it is so loud.
Go ask them to borrow their jackhammer and fly it to Iowa.
So Abby and Tyler, thank you so much for inviting us to your wedding. You guys have the best names. I won't say their last names, but they're wonderful.
Just trust us. It's going to be a good marriage name.
Picture whimsical British last names and they have them both.
I want to say her name so badly.
Don't do it. Don't do
it. It's like the best famous name.
It's so whimsical.
If someone wants their name, they have to tell us in advance that it's okay. Otherwise, we will assume it's not.
It's the equivalent of if her name was going to be Abby Sprinkles. Like, it's just the best, happiest,
pretty much
wonderful, like, plucky last name.
No, I'm going to say it.
No, don't say it, Kathleen. You can't say it. You could say it next episode if she reaches out and says we can.
About something that? You sprinkle on food.
All right.
Fine. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Let's cottage go around cheese. Let's go around the table and say what we learned this week. Sam, do you have one?
I did. I swear to you, I did. It hit me at work in the face.
Yeah.
And now it's fallen back on the floor. Does someone else want to go first?
Sure, Kathleen.
Yeah, speaking right. of the floor. Speaking of the floor, it is time for me and maybe for you to open your underwear drawer and reevaluate.
No.
Oh, why?
No.
Because the other day I was taking a shower and I had washed my bath mat and it was in another room. And so I got out of the shower and I didn't realize that the bath mat wasn't there because my underwear was so huge, I was stepping on my underwear.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
When you confuse your underwear for a bath mat because it's so large and stretched out.
This is why I tell you not to shop in the shaggy section of Victoria's Secret.
Kathleen.
My underwear is as large as a bath mat.
What?
But not like a baby doll bath mat, like a regular size bath mat.
You do keep your underwear for an exorbitant amount of time.
I do.
Do you still have underwear from when you went to college?
I have underwear from prom night.
See, that is okay. Not sanitary.
No. Time to get rid.
No, I like only wear them on very special occasions.
Either put it in a 3D frame and keep it for funsies or get rid of it because you should not be putting that there for that long.
Shadowbox that. Underwear.
My underwear is so large.
Okay, time for you to get new underwear.
Should we just take it upon ourselves, Bethany? Yep. Can you and I each buy Kathleen a pair of underwear?
Yes, I was actually in Victoria's Secret earlier today, and we're pre-recording this, so I don't know if the sale is still on, but right now it's like 7 pair for $28.
Kathleen, we could get you so many pair for such a deal.
I'm just going to buy my underwear at Bed Bath & Beyond from now on. I'm going to fasten bath mats into underwear.
I was
going to
say, she cuts robes. It's like adult diapers.
Guys, it was like a different person had been wearing this underwear. I held it up. First of all, I could see the sunlight coming through.
Are you sure it wasn't?
Because they're so Threadbjorn.
Really worked through.
Baby Bjorn.
And I'm pretty sure that I could hike it up over my shoulders if I was like...
How does it not fall down when you wear it?
I don't know.
This sounds super uncomfortable. Apart from all of the horrible graphic I'm getting from this, it just sounds not cozy.
I horrify myself.
Okay, we're going to leave after this and we're going to buy you some underwear.
Can we get food first?
Nope.
Please?
Underwear. And then food.
What are you doing to me, Kathleen? I can't even
keep you're the pioneer. You're the one who has to take charge.
Where's my horse?
All right. Sam, what'd you learn this week?
That I'm a pioneer.
Yeah.
I learned that you need to recognize what keeps you motivated and find it in a small way to be able to refresh it every day. So we all have these inspirational things that say, I'm motivated when blank. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, blank is this grand, fantastic thing that would motivate a lot of people.
I'm motivated when Jesus comes down for the second coming and I'm the one who gets to go
up. I was
up.
So productive that day.
Yeah.
I'm motivated when pizza arrives.
I'm so good. So I found out, I'm going to steal this one. I found out that one of our radio siblings thing is reading a little bit from an inspirational book every day.
Okay.
It's a self-help book.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be necessarily inspirational, but it's a self-help book. It doesn't matter if it's a couple pages or not, but that is his thing. He reads it a little bit and it just helps keep him going. It sounds very doable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a shot, but if not that, I am going to find my little thing that I can add into every day that helps keep me a tiny bit motivated.
That's great. If you end up doing that and like you find a book you really like, will you let us know what book that is?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I love that.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
So I learned okay, you know how like if you're having a bad day or you're sort of not motivated, kind of same thing. Like I keep a photo album in my phone and I call it Quotespiration. And it's just like quotes that I love that keep me up. Okay, sometimes it doesn't work though. So then what you gotta do is...
And you have to get them tattooed on your body.
You have to scare yourself. And this is what I mean by that. Every once in a while, like if you're on Twitter, do you see like... those accounts that are like not explained and it's a picture of like something creepy that people can't explain and it makes your feet go numb because it's so scary. Okay, so I was on I just found it. I was on this website and they were just talking about pictures that look fake but are real, and I found this picture and it's of a giant wave and people are trying to surf towards it. Underneath the wave is all of this giant seaweed, but it looks like a monster. I'm going to tweet it out and post it on Instagram. It scared me so much that it woke me up and made me feel alive. Look at this picture.
No.
What
That's the upside down from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it looks like tentacles coming out of the water. It's actually just seaweed. But if you were surfing and a giant wave came up and you saw that under the wave because the water is so blue, I would wet my pants.
And no one would know because you're in the ocean.
Right. So my feet are numb right now just looking at this picture, but that turned my day around because it freaked me out enough that it woke me up and it made my feet go numb. And I was like, here I am today.
My acting teacher used to call that, or rather my old acting teacher calls that, bringing you to life.
Yes, exactly.
Do something that brings you to life.
Yes. If you are feeling like you're in a slump today and you want to get scared, the scariest thing I've ever seen, and I'll also try to tweet that out for us, is this picture that someone had to take on a ship. They were making sure everyone was off the ship and all of the lights were off. And so he just took a picture and then left. And when he got the picture, he had used a flash and there was a man staring at him with an axe.
No!
And I'm Get numb. Out! I'm Get numb. Out! So he is all alone on the ship with a dude in the ship with an axe that he didn't see when he passed this hallway. And the dude's head was just looking out at him.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I'm numb.
Oh my God, oh my God.
But you're awake, right?
Yeah.
You feel good, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to scare yourself.
Medium.
Yeah.
That's like in a movie when you get into your car at night and it's dark and then somebody pops up from the back seat.
Yep.
Why does that? That's never happened to me.
It happens to people.
Oh no.
That's why they say lock your car doors at the gas station and like always look in the back seat before you get in.
Yes, and there's another, oh God, don't you love those emails that used to go around that would be like 10 things you need to do when you're coming out of the mall late at night?
Yes.
And it used to go to like your AOL email address.
Those things I was fine with. The ones that really freaked me out is when it says, if you don't forward this to 10 people, you will get blanked.
Yeah, those aren't
true.
Those
weren't cool.
They always say when you're walking to your car late at night, don't look like you're walking in the direction of your car. Just look like you're walking. And then when you get to your car, quick unlock it and jump in so nobody like knows.
Kathleen's not stealth enough for that. No. I picture her like serpentine, like box stepping to the left. Like you're walking on an angle.
you just panic. Well, that's when you start acting crazy, and then whoever wants to steal your money is like, I'm leaving this girl alone.
Here's the picture of what the guy saw.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
I'm going to tweet it out. I'll tweet it out at Acquired Podcast. Check out right now.
They also say when you park your car late at night, don't just like sit in your car checking your text messages.
No.
Get out of your car right away.
And as soon as you get in your car, lock your doors.
Yes.
Even if, you know, you're going to do that. And another thing is if you're going to put something in your trunk, put it in your trunk before you get to the place where you're going to park your car.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you put it in your trunk afterwards, they're like, now I know where all your stuff is. Like if holiday shopping, if you drive to the mall, you're like, you know what? I'm going to put my purse in the car. Put your purse in the car first, then drive to the mall and park.
Otherwise, right.
They see you putting your purse
What a useful around the room this one was.
Oh my gosh, you guys, axe wielding dude in the ship.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, I love this stuff.
Now I want it to be Halloween.
No.
Even though
no.
I hate Halloween.
I'm wearing a tank top for the first time. No, Kathleen.
Busted out my parasol today.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Oh, that's great, because I was just going to say we should go role play for a little bit.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's parasol season, everyone. Don't feel afraid to use a parasol to block from the evil, evil sun.
Let's pretend.
Also daily sunblock.
Hummingbird witches.
That was not a hummingbird.
Calling the birds.
It was just a normal bird.
It was a hummingbird in NYC, and it was damn magical.
The only way that was a hummingbird was if it just finished eating four other hummingbirds. That thing was huge.
It's a possibility.
Monster bird.
I think it wasn't a hummingbird, but I really love that you want it to be a hummingbird.
I believe that you've never seen one now. I'm going to show you what one really looks like.
They're little. They're
I'm
so cute.
Sorry.
Kathleen's crying.
Don't be sad.
Please don't be sad. It was a hummingbird.
It was a beautiful bird.
It was a hummingbird. It had a fairy riding it.
Sure. It's going to come in, and if you lose a tooth tonight, it will visit you and give you a gift under your pillow.
I wasn't sad until you guys said I was sad.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of An Acquired Taste Podcast. Hey, this is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Follow us all on our social medias. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter and Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram and Facebook.
I'm Web Girl Kathleen on everything.
And I am Sam_Rosalie, R-O-S-A-L-I-E on Instagram and Twitter. And we're going to come up with a happy topic. But if you have one for us, feel free to participate. Maybe we'll use yours.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.